Lord, let my words be thy words, and when my words are not thy words, let thy people be cunning enough to see the same. Amen. Who do you say that I am? Well, who do we say that Jesus is? We've known Peter's answer to that question for 2,000 years, but how we answer that question today, to ourselves and to the rest of the world, makes the difference between proclaiming a message of true hope and peddling a salve that only makes us feel better for a little while. Who do the people say that I am? Jesus asked when he and his disciples came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. By that point, the crowds had seen and heard a lot from Jesus. They'd heard him take up John the Baptist's message of the need for repentance. They'd heard him preach tough sermons about loving one's enemies and turning the other cheek. His disciples had heard him speak about practicing their piety in secret and living a simple and holy life. They'd seen him heal the sick and cleanse the leprous and even raise the dead. A few times they'd even heard Jesus say a word about God's coming judgment or a word about how tough things would be for those who followed him. Last week in the gospel lesson, we heard Jesus say some difficult things about ritual purity and Sabbath observance, the kind of things that ran him afoul of the religious authorities in his day. Those authorities were not too happy about how popular this unorthodox rabbi was becoming. They demanded that Jesus show them a sign by which he was doing and saying all of these things, but Jesus wasn't interested in proving himself to them. It shouldn't surprise us, therefore, that the people had a lot of different ideas of what sort of religious figure Jesus was. Some said that he was another John the Baptist. And we can't really fault them for that, can we? He had indeed preached a message of repentance and spoken of the coming of God's kingdom. Others thought that maybe he was a new Elijah. And that tells us something about the kind of hope that they had. Elijah was a great prophet and a miracle worker. He had fed the hungry. He'd even raised a lifeless boy back from the dead. But he was also a warrior prophet who had chased down the wicked priests and prophets who had turned against false gods. And I guess in a way that reminds us of Jesus, who always seemed to question the authenticity of the religious figures of his own day. Matthew also uses Jeremiah as a comparison for us, which is a little curious because Mark and Luke also tell us this same story, but they don't mention anything about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, the one who came to declare that God was angry at the wickedness of the world, that God's judgment and punishment were coming soon. That doesn't sound like the typical Jesus, but he had said some things about the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum facing a future even worse than that of Sodom. So I suppose, in a pinch, you might think of Jesus as a Jeremiah sort of figure. Others didn't quite know what to make of him. We can tell he's like one of the prophets, they said, but we can't really tell which one. They had a hard time pinning him down. Well, eventually, after the disciples had gone on for a little while about all those possibilities, Jesus stripped away that uncertainty and removed that comfort that comes from being asked what other people think. And he said to the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, the word "you" in Jesus' question is an emphatic sort of word. Linguistically, it's not actually necessary. So when it's added in there, it's a little like pointing a finger at someone. It's as if Jesus looked right at them and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And actually, it's not the singular form of "you," it's the plural. So to us Southerners, Jesus said, "Who do y'all say that I am? Who do y'all say that I am?" Peter wasn't really one to hold his tongue, was he? So he blurted out, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Not a prophet, not a teacher, not a healer, not another signpost that points us toward the coming of God's kingdom, but the one whom God has sent to the earth to make God's kingdom a reality here and now. When Jesus looks at us and says, "Who do y'all say that I am?" are we bold enough to join Peter and say, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God"? When the world says to us, "Who is this Jesus you claim to follow?" will we say, "He's the one whom God sent to make God's reign a reality today"? Or will we tell the world the kind of thing that the world has come to expect from people who call themselves Christians? There are too many people who speak of Jesus as if he were just another John the Baptist. They tell us to repent, for the kingdom is coming, but they don't really tell us anything else. And while repentance is an important part of Jesus' message, it's not the whole thing. There are too many people in the world who speak of Jesus as if he were another Elijah, one to be celebrated for his works of deliverance, the champion of God's people who has been sent to defeat all of God's enemies. And yes, he is a miracle worker. And yes, he is the champion of God's people. But the salvation that Jesus brings doesn't belong only to those who look like us and think like us and worship like us. The salvation Jesus brings is the kind of salvation that people see when they know what it means to say God loves all people without exception. And surely there are too many people in the world who speak of Jesus as if he were another Jeremiah, who talk about Jesus as the one who came to decry the wickedness of the world and to bring God's judgment upon so-called evil people and evil places like the gay community of New York and San Francisco in the 1980s. Like the faithless people who live along the Indian Ocean basin when the tsunami hits. Like the revelers who love to walk down Bourbon Street who were killed when Katrina came. There are too many people in the world who speak of Jesus as if he were responsible for those things. But to equate tragedies like that with the one who comes to bring light and life to the whole world is repugnant to the Word of God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder that the world is confused about who it is we claim to follow? Are we surprised that they want us to tell them who Jesus really is? The world needs hope. The world is desperate for a foundation of unassailable hope that not even the gates of hell can prevail against. And the only way the world will see that hope, that transformative love of the good news of Jesus Christ, is if we are clear with ourselves and with the world about who Jesus really is. Not a prophet, not a teacher, not a healer, not a signpost that is pointing the world to what God's kingdom might be like someday, but the one who came to bring that kingdom here and now. The one who says God's reign is for today, not someday. If we think of Jesus as a prophet who speaks about what the world could be like, then we will have missed the point completely, because he didn't come and live and die and be raised again to show us what it could be like. He came to make that could be a reality. And the only way that reality comes is when we confess that He is indeed the Messiah, the one whom God has sent to make that dream a reality for us today. The future is too far away, and the hope that we have is too precious for us to wait any longer for the coming of God's kingdom. Tomorrow isn't soon enough for the coming of God's kingdom. That kingdom in Jesus comes today. Today is the day for healing and forgiveness. Today is the day for freedom and release. Today is the day for welcome and renewal. Not tomorrow, not someday, today. And if we confess, as Peter does, that Jesus is the Messiah, then we are saying that for us, that day must be today. To claim that Jesus is the Messiah is to say we aren't waiting for someone else. To identify Jesus as the Christ is to say that His ways are God's ways, and that we're not going to live any longer in a world where those ways don't reign. Now, it's a risky thing to look at the one who champions the cause of the poor, who lifts up the downtrodden, who welcomes the stranger, who always makes room for the dregs of society, and say that that is the Messiah, that that is the one who's bringing God's kingdom to earth, that that is the one whom we will follow as our Lord. That's a risky thing. But that's exactly who Jesus is. Will we follow that Jesus? Will we say that Jesus is our Messiah? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.